A couple of hundred years ago, houses had thick walls and were insulated with the materials that they were built with, solid timbers and plaster, masonry, adobe. Nowadays, we build with 2x6s and insulate with fiberglass, cellulose, foams, even space-age stuff like radiant barriers and nanogels. But do they actually work better than sawdust and logs?
This podcast series is excerpted from a 2-day seminar on Building Science Fundamentals taught by Dr. Joe Stiebrick and Dr. John Straub of Building Science Corporation. For information on attending a live class, go to buildingscienceseminars.com.
In this episode, Dr. John talks about the history of insulation materials, how different materials work, and where they make the most sense.
So the history of insulation comes about because of the history of structural engineering. Now, I'm a recovering structural engineer, so that's probably why I like to think of it that way. But in the old days, when we didn't have good structural engineers, to be able to build a building, you need to use a lot of material. And it had to be solid. You couldn't put a lot of windows in there, and it needed to be pretty thick. So you got decent R value, just because, you used a lot. As we got smarter structural engineers, they were able to thin the layer of material down into the point where, a concrete wall 4 inches thick of 3,000 PSI concrete, you can build a 10-story building on that. But what's the R value of 4 inches of concrete? Buckus. And so then we could even one step further. We were able to concentrate that 4 inches of concrete into a steel column every 20 feet. And if you look at the R value of concrete, it's 0.07 per inch. So 4 inches of it gives you 1/4 of an R. Yeah, woo! But if you have a chunk of steel, let's say you have a 1-inch steel flange on your I-beam, the R value is about 0.004. When you start saying 0.0 anything in R values, you know you're a loser. So none of these materials actually have a hope of working. It's only when you get up into this range, that 10-inch thick log cabin, 12-inch diameter log, average 10, R10, that's not bad. It actually meets the comfort requirements, avoids surface condensation. People say, you can't live in a log cabin, that's got no R. Well, it's 3 times better than your standard curtain wall. And it doesn't have any solar gain problems. But we've gotten so brainwashed by the propaganda of insulation is something you buy in a bag from the Home Depot that we've forgotten that, 10 inches of wood, 12 inches of adobe, not bad product actually, because it's continuous and it's solid. That's why it works. So that explains a lot about this graph that Joe introduced this morning, is that this wall here, pretty crappy R value having that much rock, but then this wall made out of aluminum, which has an R value of 0.001 per inch, is it any surprise that we have problems with thermal performance in these buildings? Or that the energy consumption numbers don't go down? Now, what we obviously need, we're coming to crunch time, and the oil price just before this session was at $133.69 a barrel. So $4 a gas coming to you soon. We're going to need more heat flow control. People are going to want to do something smarter about insulation. They're also going to want to change these unbelievably stupid bulbs. But they'll get around to that, I'm sure, shortly. There's also more environmental concerns, climate change, more demanding comfort standards. People used to put up with cold places in the winter and hot places in the summer. And we've gotten spoiled into saying, no, I want a more comfortable environment. So the temperature ranges that are tolerable have narrowed quite considerably. In fact, the Europeans make quite a bit of fun of North Americans on that basis. So they're saying, what's the big deal? Why don't you just wear short sleeve shirts and sweat a little in the summer and wear a cardigan in the winter? We actually do the opposite. I don't know about you, but my office, I have to wear thin shirts in the wintertime because otherwise I sweat. In the summertime, I have to take a fleece to school because if I wear my shorts and a t-shirt, I'll freeze to death in my air-conditioned office. So we actually flip it around completely. That might come to an end soon. Another thing that people don't realize is that when we used to have condensation on our steel single glazed windows, it dripped onto brick, and so big whoopee. Now when we have condensation, it drips onto paper-faced gypsum. Then we have mold, and mold kills babies. So therefore, people pull the fire alarm and run screaming from the building because they have mold on their drywall. And that's changed owners' concerns about condensation. It used to be, suck it up. Now it's like, this is a problem. Right or wrong, that's how they're reacting. So let's look at some of the insulation materials that we have to help us control heat flow. First of all, accept that density of the insulation material matters, the airspace content, moisture content, temperature difference, all these things matter. The combination of insulation and the air in it is actually what gives us the R value. Still air is about R6 per inch. And the trick is, how do I keep the air still? Fiberglass is a triumph because think of what they've done. They've taken a material. Is this good insulation? I mean, here, I'll let someone hold this while I pour boiling water into it. Glass is a horrible insulator. But if you make it really fluffy so that it actually isn't glass anymore, it's just a thing that stops air from convecting, you actually get decent R values out of it. R3.5 per inch, R4 per inch, even though still air would be R6, fiberglass isn't perfect. Only way to improve that R value of 6 per inch is to use gas fills like HCFCs and pentanes and, in the good old days, CFCs, Freon, and so on. And that would give us slightly higher R values. And there's some future project products I'll talk about. Vacuum panels. This is a product from Germany, Porxtherm, I think it's called. Two layers of 3/8 inch of polystyrene on the either side of a vacuum panel. So it basically makes a thermos. And for about an inch, you get about R20 to 30 per inch depending on the product. Not bad. Now, it costs you about, per R value, in the order of 10 to 50 times more than using spray polyurethane foam insulation. But at least you can do it. If you really had Frank Gehry's budget, you could spend it all on ridiculous insulation. Not all of us get that option. Nanogels and aerogels are also products that are commercially available now at horrific prices that will get you R12 to 20 per inch. So we can do it, but it's unlikely we are going to do it. The applications for these things are quite interesting, actually. They're things like you want to ship some frozen seafood from Singapore to London, England. It's a 14-hour airplane flight. So the normal way was to put a refrigeration unit in a container, put the fish in there or whatever, and send it to London. But that refrigeration unit weighs 1,000 pounds. Flying 1,000 pounds from Singapore to London costs $10,000. So instead what you do is you use 100 pounds of super insulation, you throw in 20 pounds of dry ice into a 40-foot container, and you fly it to London, and you saved yourself $900 in shipping, $9,000 in aircraft cost on the first flight. So those guys really care about volume-constrained insulation products. In buildings, you just make your wall thicker. Get over it. People like deep windowsills, right? They like that happy, comfortable feeling. Inside most of our insulations, we have conduction, radiation, and convection going on. Ideally, if we have closed-cell foam insulation, or actually most open cell as well, we have suppressed all convection. No air movement goes through it. That's one reason all foam insulations get higher R values. It's pretty easy. But we do have to still deal with conduction and radiation. At very low densities, you can't get good R value because there's so little stuff there that you get lots of radiation and convection loops start forming. As you add more fibers, more blockers to airflow and radiation, the density of the material goes up. Most fiberglass insulations are in the 0.7 to 1.1 pound a cubic foot range, and that's an economic optimum. But you can get higher density fiberglass. Rockwool is typically a higher density product, and that you can get are 4.1, 4.2, 4.3 per inch is something you can do. So how much insulation does it take to get to R20? R20 is a kind of a touchstone, just is something that you're all probably aware of. 4 inches of extruded polystyrene, the blue stuff, Dow SM, pink. The color actually doesn't affect the heat transfer much. So 4 inches will do it no matter what the product. Bad insulation, about 6 inches. Sawdust, about 8 inches. Sawdust used to be a pretty popular insulation product, but it no longer had a standard because nobody was actually producing it on purpose. And if it doesn't have a standard, it can't be accepted into a code, and therefore it very quickly fell out of use. So in the 50s and 60s, people stopped using sawdust, even though 8 inches of sawdust will give you about R8. It's a pretty good system. But since there's no one making money on it, of course, we can't buy it anymore. Softwood, you need about 18 inches or so to get to R20. And it's pretty hard these days to get buildings made of 18 inches of solid wood. So that's not a very popular solution. Adobe, 2 feet. There's a lot of older buildings, if you go to Santa Fe, New Mexico, which have walls that are this thick of adobe, and they actually are getting close to R20. And they perform really well. Then we have the loose, dry sand, which I include in this plot to remind people that green roofs, you know, the where they put the goats on it that Joe described this morning, you don't get any insulation value out of the dirt. If dirt were good insulation, they would probably sell dirt in the insulation aisle at the Home Depot. But they don't. They sell it in the gardening section. Because the R value of dirt really sucks. And this is about the best I could get. 4 feet of dry sand. If you make it actually potting soil and keep it moist enough to grow plants, you need about 6 feet. So you wouldn't put the dirt on there for insulation. You put the dirt on there to grow plants.
GBA Radio is a production of GreenBuildingAdvisor.com. Thanks for listening.